live from the Reptile Room in the basement of the British Museum of Natural History in London, England. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 swinging minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, donkey basketball referee, and a man who once insured half the livers in Calhoun County, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring award-winning attorney, author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and also the eldest and best dressed of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, sculptor, daredevil, international playboy, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestler champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Yeah. You look like a trained seal clapping.
We're all good at that.
Not bad.
Hi.
That's just jamming music.
It's winter.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to get cold. It's
super cold.
Blustery.
When was the last time, or if you ever, I'm not sure if you ever, you went ice skating?
Oh, man, it was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, a long time.
30?
I took my kids.
30?
I took my kids ice skating one time.
Brother-in-law went ice skating up in north part of the county, and Lisa was out there, my wife, laughing ass, falling down. So,
didn't play hockey or anything like
didn't
that?
Didn't have enough guys. We were trying to get that to go in
that day. We used to play a little hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On the pond?
Yeah.
All it takes is four.
Yeah, well, you'd put a couple of boots on each end, and that'd be your goal.
None of us could slap a puck enough to get it up off the ice.
No, they're never in danger there. No, not really. I think Brother Brad, who's been a guest on the show.
Yes.
He played a little bit of hockey on like a local team.
Really?
Yeah, he was their goon.
I could imagine that.
He was one of the Hanson brothers.
I was going to say, I couldn't remember the name.
There's actually a movie called Goon.
Oh.
And it's, he was in those American Pie movies, the Stifler.
Wasn't that? I never saw that. Wasn't that a character on Popeye?
The goons, they were
there was.
Sea Hags. Yeah, the goons.
Okay.
They were the Sea Hags henchmen.
Yes.
The goons. And the they goons. Just went wrong. They didn't really talk. But I think Brad's distinction on that team was he had the most stitches of anybody.
Didn't have anything to do with the hockey.
Not really. I don't think he knew how to play.
Could he skate?
Poorly.
Okay.
I remember one of the things you always did when you were out skating is you build a fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
You spend a lot of time trying to get a fire going, because everything was frozen and covered with ice or snow or whatever.
Gasoline.
And you use a lot of gasoline, throw a lot of gasoline on the fire and get it going.
You know, a lot of people think you use kerosene, but...
And by the time you got cold, the fire was out.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, that too.
We had a person that just go gather wood, didn't skate.
Oh, okay. It's a wood gathering story. I don't know if you remember, we were up skating at our grandmother's house up on the Illinois River. Along the river.
One of the sloughs there?
Yeah, one of the sloughs on the
Silver
side
Creek.
Of the,
Silver Creek.
The, right around that river. Yeah.
And we were trying to find some wood to build a fire, and we were breaking branches off. And at one point in time, when we had.
Oh, I remember this now that you say this.
Cousin Chuck was there, and we were pulling this branch back, and there were like several of us pulling on it. One was on the wrong side of the branch. That was Chuck, and the branch broke off short and came back and hit him right in the face.
Oh, Lord.
And it hit him so hard that it knocked him out.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And he's laying there on the ice. And when he came to, You know, his mouth is all bloody, and it knocked out his two front teeth.
Oh, no.
But here's the weird part.
That's not the weird part.
While he was out, he swallowed the two front teeth.
Oh, no.
But
wow.
They waited, you know.
And it came out in the end. Yeah.
And it passed.
Everything comes out fine in the end.
And it passed, and they saved the teeth, and they had them re-implanted.
Oh, that's a lie.
This is a fact. And they had it replanted into his front jaw.
Wait,
where it came out.
I can't, no.
Now, the only downside was,
no.
I'm
gullible as the best guy, but this is a little bit hard for me to believe.
This is a fact. The only side effect of the whole thing is he had bad breath the rest of his life.
Yeah, I knew here it was going. Yeah.
And
you've been waiting to tell that story for a long time, haven't you?
Wow. What I said is that whenever you knock one of your friends or brothers out, the first thing that goes through your mind is,
am I going to get in trouble?
No. Well, did we kill him? He's alive. He's okay.
He's breathing.
He's alive. You'll be okay.
It's a fairly rare thing to see somebody actually get knocked out.
Not as rare as all that, is it?
Well, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen anybody get knocked out.
Well, when we were dragging you behind that truck, I saw it.
Well, I didn't see it.
I saw it. It was really impressive.
I didn't see it coming.
We were dragging Alan behind a truck with
I was getting ready to say
car hood. Yeah. Car hood hooked
in the
back,
snow.
In the snow.
I was remembering that
and
story.
And we hooked a log chain to the back of it. And Chuck Ringhouse.
Well, we tried a rope.
And didn't work.
And we'd start piling snow up in front of the car hood, and the rope kept breaking.
So you got chained.
So we broke out the log chain. That ain't breaking.
No. And Chuck drove that truck, and he drove it lickety split. Fast enough that when he went around a curve, that
he knew only one speed, and
wide
it was
open.
Fast.
Yeah,
and
wide open.
That car hood swung out like you're swinging a yo-yo at the end of a string. And Alan just swung out to the far side, you know, and he's like to where he's almost going to pass the truck. He swung out to the side. And there was a truck that was parked by the side of the road, a big farm truck, and he hit the back of it.
Wow.
And I looked in the rearview mirror and just saw that bale of hay explode like a comic book scene, you know. Poof. And
that's not good.
And then there's the car hood dangling behind us, and there's no Alan on it. So we stop and go back, and there he is laying by the ground. We thought we killed him.
It wasn't moving, right?
No, you were knocked out cold. And we kind of slapped.
Did you take my money?
You didn't have any. We kind of slapped him around.
Where's my money?
Is that like on the TV, slap him in the face?
And, you know, he finally gets up. And it's like, okay, he's okay. He's okay. Alan, you're okay. Well, why wouldn't I be? Well, I mean, from hitting the truck. What do you mean? Well, from when you were on the car hood. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. We're like, oh, my God.
We've ruined him.
This can't
be. We've erased his brain.
This can't be a good thing. So we had to take him home.
Any questions about us at home?
We stood him in the
garage.
How'd
you handle that, Rick?
Yes. Alec, wait here in the garage. Let me go soften Mom and Dad up to make sure that everybody's cool with this.
Because you thought that they would be able to tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because you were silly.
Were you bloody?
Nah, not really. I mean, he had a bruise on his head. So Mom and Dad are they're sitting at the table. They're sitting at the table eating it. Mom, Dad. Alan's out in the garage and he hit a truck and now he can't remember anything.
I'm sure that helped.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. So they go out and I guess you had a concussion, huh?
And Chuck's kind of holding me up.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's fine. He's fine. Chuck, you can go home.
Chucky.
And this was last year.
Before we inherited Larry, Chuck was our go-to guy for
stunts.
Yeah. You know, in your intro, it referred to you as a daredevil. You know, a daredevil is such an interesting life occupation to have, isn't it?
You know, thinking about that, from what I remember, you know, Chuck almost killed me that day, but Chuck also ran over one of our other good friends, Donnie Gettin.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Same day?
Not on purpose.
Same day?
No.
Oh, okay.
They didn't kill him either. How'd he do that? I can't remember how that came to pass.
He ran over. Donnie was riding on the fender of the tractor and fell off, and Chuck ran over him.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, man.
That happens.
A lot. You know, this is just part of growing up.
It is.
On a farm with a tractor.
Yeah.
You remember the time when in front of Chuck's apple packing shed, there's a big gravel driveway, and it's where we ride our bikes and build ramps and stuff. And we thought it would be funny to loosen the front tire on Chuck's bike.
I forgot about that, too.
And see the tire fall off. That would be just, it'd be, you know, funny, harmless entertainment.
Yep.
You know, in
Chuck goes riding it fast as he can. I mean, he is bumping hard. Hits the ramp, front tire comes up in the air and goes flying off, and the front forks come down, dig into the gravel, throw him over the handlebars, and just scrape all the skin off of his chest.
No shirt?
No, no shirt.
No, that's not good. So
you know, it's funny, you know. I think
did we ever admit to it? Oh, my God, Chuck, your wheel came off.
I think somehow you have it in your mind that when you loosen the front wheel on his bike that, you know, after it comes off, he'll be like riding on the back wheel like it's
wheeling.
A unicycle, you know, wheeling around, you know, and finally coming to a stop. It didn't work like that at all.
No, and it's only at that moment you think, oh, shoot, that's a bad idea.
We didn't think this through. Wow.
We shouldn't have done that to Chuck.
It's an astonishing number of bad ideas that
came out of your minds when you're growing up.
What's the most daring thing that you've ever done?
By accident.
Wait. I'm going with Greg first.
No, wait a minute.
Most daring thing you've ever done. Scariest thing that afterwards you go, wow.
You know, I can't. I probably forced it out of my mind. I have no clue. I really don't.
Did you ever go walk along the edge of the bluff?
Oh, we did that all the time. But that never really bugged us too much, I don't think.
Did you walk along the peak of a barn?
No, I never did that. Came up, you know,
yeah, I got to say, I was always terrified to do that. Like when we were roof barns
and
stuff.
Heights and snakes.
I've seen you do it. There's a picture of you walking the peak of the barn.
Sure. Okay, I was riding this motorcycle. It was a Yamaha 125 Enduro, and I was a maniac on it, okay? And I was out on the, you know, the country roads where we grew up. And we'd been over at one of the other orchards and was coming back home. And Brad, younger brother Brad, was riding on the back behind me. He had to be, I don't know, 10 maybe? No, probably younger than that. You know, like 7 or 8 or whatever. And we come around this sharp curve that's, you know, like a 90-degree curve and on a hill and inclines, the one right there at West Ridge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Dangerous curve.
I've wrecked a car there before.
And, you know, you can see the hill on the other side, nothing coming. And, you know, so I'm clear. So as I come off the hump and around the corner, I'm taking the inside curve, you know, so I have more speed.
Of course.
And when I come around the corner, there's a car. And it had apparently been going real slow.
And it was down in that dip.
And it was down in the dip, didn't see it. And then so here I am, you know, like coming right at it. And so I swerve and I go off the road. And I hit this old wooden gate, which just, like, explodes into pieces. And there's, like, a giant ravine right there, like a washout. And I go off of that and down into it. But when we go down, it's not like the nose of the bike went down. It's like a more kind of like a Evel Knievel going off a jump type thing. And when we hit the bottom, it had been rainy for the previous few days. And this motorcycle just stuck in the mud. Still standing upright, and Brad and I both got off the motorcycle and were like, wow.
Let's do it again.
Neither one of us had a scratch or a bruise. Nothing.
Was the back tire even moving, or was you have the gas on it or gauged or anything, or just it just when it hit, it just stuck?
It just stuck in the mud. I know. Wow. Like sunk to the axles in that mud, and it was the mud that saved us.
Did the people in the car stop?
Yeah, they did. They're just like, look over there. You all right? We're fine.
One question.
But we crashed through a gate and into this ravine.
One question. Is the bike still standing in the mud right now?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, you can probably go down there. It'll probably start.
We turned it into insurance.
I'm sure you
they
did.
They paid it off in full. No, the talk that went on was Alan shaking Brad. You don't say a word about
this. I bet.
You'll never ride this motorcycle again. He said nothing.
Brad is kind of the keeper of the secrets.
He could write a book, right?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
But, you know, he knew where his bread was buttered.
Oh, sure.
If he wanted to ride into town, he had to, you know, keep the faith.
Ride into town. That's
Otherwise, he's stuck out there.
Yep.
Couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't see anybody.
Mm-mm.
Just by himself.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's the way it was.
No wonder that's the way it is.
When you're the oldest one, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
There's no one to drive you into town.
I can remember I took him and Pat Getten, who were, you know, about the same age, and they were on the basketball team. And I had to drop him off basketball practice and then kill time in town.
And pick him up.
And then pick him up when basketball practice is over.
What did killing time consist of?
I'm really good at killing time.
Going to the diner.
I was really good at killing time, hanging out with my friends, drinking beer. I was really bad at keeping an eye on the clock. And I can distinctly remember going over to the school. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I pull up, and here's Brad and Pat sitting on the curb in the dark. And they get in the car, and they're both just, like, totally ticked off at me. And I said, look, I'll give you each a beer if you promise not to tell.
Well, that's a good one.
And they're like, yeah. That was it. Bought them off that easy. Of course, I ruined them both.
I was
been to rehab a couple times. Let me ask you this question real quick before you go into for the commercial. How many motorcycles do you guys go through out there?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
Because you broke your hand on one.
Oh, I tore it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's when you ruined my wedding.
I did not ruin your wedding.
Oh, you should see the pictures.
I admit it was gross to look at.
Got a commercial, Rick?
Today's show is brought to you by Uncle Dan's Seedless Pecans. Tired of getting pecan seeds stuck between your teeth or under your dentures when munching on a pecan log? Had enough of accidentally swallowing and choking on pecan seeds while enjoying pecan pie? Well, fret no longer. Your favorite botanist, Uncle Dan, has worked his magic and created an entirely new strain of pecans, specially developed to be 100% seedless. You heard me right. 100% seedless. And not only that, Uncle Dan's seedless pecans come with paper-thin shells for easy cracking. So move over, seedless watermelons. Make way for Uncle Den's seedless pecans. Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Okay. Question. When you buy, like, say, a bag of pecans that have been shelled.
I wouldn't buy a bag of pecans, but go ahead.
Do you refer to them as pecan seeds?
No one does.
Well, apparently you do now.
Well, Uncle Den does.
It's not my fault Uncle Den writes idiotic commercials.
Okay. Okay, so what was your biggest, stunt?
Death-defying? Might have been that.
The Saul thing sounds pretty death-defying to me. I'm still thinking.
Okay, you got close. Me so distracted about that Saw. That same Saw that you're talking about with the toggle switch.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is still at the farm this date, but I can remember showing up out at the farm, and they were putting a new roof on the house, a steeper roof than what was originally there on the back part of the house.
You mean the one that wouldn't leak every single time it rains?
Yes, and so you got Dad and Larry Kunk up on the roof, and they're putting sheets of plywood on these new rafters that they'd built. And they were just setting up. They'd been working on it a couple of days, and they were setting up all their equipment again. And they had the saw up on the roof with the safety guard wired back.
Wasn't the only one that did
that. No, they all did it. And so Dad says, plug in the extension cord. So I'm standing. Dad and Larry are both up on the roof, and I'm down to where, okay. And so I plug in the extension cord, and you hear, and here comes the power saw off the end of the roof. And here's Dad and Larry both leaning over.
Look out!
boat leaning over looking at the saw.
You can't make that up.
Unplug it.
I assume the toggle switch was in the on position when you plugged it in.
Important safety tip.
Don't have a toggle switch.
A saw blade will run just like a tire. Carrying that saw around.
It certainly did, Rick.
Talk about a Three Stooges thing.
Wow.
You call me a Three Stooges move?
I did.
I said you were Harold Lloyd. Harold Lloyd. Although you probably weren't silent.
I wasn't screaming or yelling for help because I had those two old guys across the street watching me.
Thinking that they would help, but they never did.
No,
come to the
it wasn't that. I knew they were going to help.
Were they like
at least call the police or an ambulance.
Whenever you're doing something ridiculously bad and someone else is watching it, you know, you're not ever going to go to them and give them the satisfaction of asking them for help.
Were they like the two cranky old Muppets in the balcony?
Yeah.
Except look at this idiot.
Except they were amused.
What's he going to do now? I can't believe he's doing this.
Closest to death was probably on my graduation from high school day.
Is that where you pulled out in front of a vehicle?
No, yeah.
That'll do it.
Late for graduation. Driving my Mustang. Me and Alan heading to graduation. Why you went, I'd have known. You must have been being punished for something. You had to go sit through that.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
That's first ring house and graduate from high school. Anyway, that includes you.
Yeah, I did graduate. You know what? I was thinking about the accident I was in with Bruce.
Oh, here we go.
In the boat?
No.
A different accident.
Yeah. We had two carloads of guys going up to Quincy. But why we went to Quincy, we don't know. But we had a bunch of beer. We didn't know what to do.
Road trip? Just road
tripping
it?
Pretty much. So
let's go to Quincy! Yeah!
Was there a house in Quincy?
There was a house in Quincy. Had a couple girls in it. And we thought, well, but they turned out not to be home. Or they turned the lights off when they saw that we're all coming.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So you didn't have any money.
So this is about 1 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, there's a little alcohol in our system. And there's...
Who's the wheelman here?
Bruce is the wheelman. And there's...
You're the oldest. Didn't you ever intervene on that?
Why were you always letting the younger brother
drive? It was his car.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. So he just got it fixed. And anyway, we're coming back from... Quincy and at Hall, Illinois, there was this T section in the road, and on the other side of the road was a huge cliff, like 20 feet. There's no, just off the road, and went into a farmer's field that was 20 feet off the ground or below ground. And I thought we were in trouble when I see his head nodding around, and all of a sudden the stop sign goes over the top of the car.
Oh,
And we just flew out there like, what was that show with the
vacation? 50 yards.
Yes, and it was pretty much.
You must have jumped this thing 50 yards, Dad.
Well, they had the next day. Of course, one of the guys got out. Thank God he didn't turn the car, try to make the turn, or we've been rolling for 3 days. But they had to get two tow trucks to get out there, to cable to cable.
Two trucks.
Yeah, that's how far out we went and how fast we were going.
Did you have to go to the hospital?
Yes, we did, and that was another story.
Your parents have to come
so basically,
see this?
The car.
Oh yeah, how did that play?
Let me finish. The car behind us stopped, and we told the guy that one of the guys that got out of the car said, "Get rid of all the beer."
Yeah.
So
whoever's able to.
Bruce
walk,
is unconscious right now.
Yeah.
But first, get rid of this beer.
Yeah, and so. Go back the next morning. There's a perfect ring of beer cans about 10 yards from the. I got rid of it. Anyway, Bruce goes to the hospital, and I'm in the ambulance with him. And
Bruce, don't tell.
And there's this other
tell.
Car, this little Dodge Dart, and there's 8 guys. And so when Bruce gets released to the hospital about 3 o'clock in the morning, there's 8 guys that has to drive, 30 miles from Pittsfield to Hardin. And so.
In a Dodge Dart.
And we were on top of each other and stink and you know. So anyway, the next morning about 9.
Did you
have
Bruce with you?
Yeah.
So he got it. They didn't keep him overnight?
He was fine.
So you didn't have to call your parents?
No, but when we showed up, Dad got a phone call.
Uh-oh.
The next morning from the hospital. And he said, well, we got the blood test run, and just got to say this, Mr. Ringhausen. Your son had enough alcohol in him to kill 3 guys.
Oh. Thanks, Doc.
So.
What about the hospital confidentiality.
Yeah.
Well, he was not of age.
He's underage.
Yes. Oh. So, yes. So, yes, after the phone call, yes, we sat down and had a nice, long discussion. And found
well,
out
just
what
the fact
about
that
the evils of alcohol, so
that
you
didn't
never drank
come
again.
Home at all.
Well,
like,
no, Dad would always sleep through that, and Mom would be waiting up for us.
Okay.
So I'd always let Bruce go in the house first, no matter what, because he was.
Because he didn't care.
He went right to his room, and Mom was pounding on his door, wanting to know what. And I would be.
Oh, and then you could slip in quietly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then poke your head out. What's all the commotion?
Pretty good, Rick. That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was my story.
Hey, Bruce, where's your car?
Yeah.
How do you explain the car not being coming home?
That was another story.
Totaled it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wheels are all just sticking out pretty
good. All right.
Frozen field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice ride.
So you think you were completely airborne at one point?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we just bomb. Had no idea. I was in the back seat. Didn't know what. Finally stopped.
Finally
throw
stopped.
Up. Throw up.
No.
Everyone is in the front seat after it landed.
The other, I was the only one kind of woke up before, you know, we went over. Thank goodness. Yeah. Everybody, we okay? Where are we at?
Yeah.
Well,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, I got hit by a train.
I know you did.
Insurance covered that too.
Yes,
didn't it?
I said what? Well, and the type of car was
an MG Midget.
There's not a lot of room to get
hit. We can laugh
train.
About it now.
Not a lot of room to get hit by a train or an MG Midget.
I still don't know how.
Walked away from it.
I still don't. Wow. Yeah.
So that was exciting.
Yes.
Can you top that one, Rick?
No, I can't.
You started out with the accident, and we just all
learned.
This is
a guy coming from a guy who drove a Pinto.
Exactly. You guys didn't believe in
and
big
cars. Wildly.
You guys didn't believe in big cars, did you?
No.
We believed
our parents did.
We believed in cheap little cars because
we
didn't have any money.
Yeah.
I had a Volkswagen.
No, you did have a Volkswagen. Yeah. I remember that thing. Yeah. Have the engine in the front back?
Yes, it did.
They would go anywhere.
You betcha. We were going behind the Queen's Contest. Calvin at the Apple Festival.
Yeah.
We were zooming back and forth behind it up on that hill.
You mean during the contest?
During the contest. We're having a good time.
And I'm sure somebody said, oh, I saw your son Greg and his buddies driving around on the hillside behind the fair.
Throwing out beer cans.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble for that?
There's no beer allowed at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
It's dry.
And?
It's like the school owns the fairgrounds, so you can't have beer there. Like at the football games.
I got a story for you. Games. I got a story. Yeah, there's no beer at the football games either.
Go ahead.
I think we're out of time, aren't we?
No, we started late.
Okay.
Tell your story.
Rick's going to cut it out anyway, but go ahead and tell your story.
we started up a...
That's pretty much what I do with all of them, but go ahead.
I think we were part of the KCs, and we were just the young bunch that just turned 19 and they was drinking... the law was 19 then, and so they got all of us in charge of the gate on a Saturday night, and no one wanted to be there, and so we're taking gate money
at the high school football.
No,
or
at the county fair. County
at
fair.
County fair. Okay.
Yeah. So he's long lining the car, and they're charging up, and you know, hey, you got beer in that? But anyway, we would have somebody run down to the Barefoot, and which is what, a half mile away, a quarter of a mile away, and buy cases of cold beer, and we were sitting there just. Getting plowed.
So you're taking money at the fair gate.
At what point are you just like, go on, just go on in?
Pretty quick.
Okay.
So the two guys that were supervising said, you guys just get out of here, go home, and yeah.
Now, when you're taking money at the fair like that, and like your friends come in, you just wave them in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any girl that's halfway attractive?
Absolutely.
Because you had no
But that's after you lean into their car for, you know, like 5, 10 minutes.
Want a beer, baby?
Where are you going? What are you doing when you leave here? We're gonna be right here at the gate.
Drinking beer. Come on back.
Be back to pick you up later.
We were never asked back to do that again.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah. I can't understand.
I think it is that time.
Now can we go?
Yeah, I think
now can
time.
We go?
You waited all that time for that story. That'll be cut out.
All right.
See you later.
From Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network.